Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's Offit Show. We're on the Team 980. Always live as well on the free Odyssey app and live on YouTube at the Team 980, where if you're not subscribed to our channel, you just might miss some of what we're doing. The radio show is 4 to 7 every single day, but sports news is not confined to that, and certainly live event coverage is not confined to that. So last night, after we got done on the air from Capital One Arena, we gave ourselves about a half hour to recoup, eat some food, thanks to the Mystics and for feeding us. And then we went right back to the same exact microphones, the same exact cameras, the same exact everything, and hit play again. This time, just on the internet. We did a live show, co-streamed on my women's sports YouTube page, Hoffman W Sports. So if you're watching live on YouTube now, you might see a change in the graphics because we use the old W Sports imaging on that. But we did a live show to accompany the WNBA draft. We might do similar things in the future for the NBA draft, for the NFL draft. Of course, for the NFL draft, we will have a live show on the radio. So we'll probably just let Linnell and company handle that. Toby, Denton, they'll be in between the 2 days with Linnell for that. But you never know where we might show up. So the old subscribe button, it's your friend. Give yourself the option to get notified. Say, hey, your old friends at the Team 980, they're live talking about the sports that you want to hear about right now. And luckily for us last night, we weren't alone. Megan McPeak, the play-by-play voice of the Mystics, of course you know her as the sideline reporter for the Wizards as well, joined us on set for basically the back half of our show. She actually sat down right as the Mystics were selecting Georgia Amore, but we started off our conversation talking about Sonia Citron, the third overall pick, and then went from there. This is just part of the conversation. Full thing, again, is on YouTube if you want to go to the live tab and rewatch any of last night's coverage. But we thought this was the best compact piece of analysis from last night on why Sonia Citron, why Kiki Iriafen, why Georgia Amore, and what it means for the Mystics in the bigger picture. That's today's Not My Beat.
Today's top story from the perspective of someone who's there.
You are looking live.
This just in.
Not My Beat.
I just think you think of what they're trying to do and build to think of not just this season and next season, but you're thinking of sustainability.
Right.
And that's a big thing coming in that Jamila and Sydney spoke about from the roster construction standpoint, and then as well, too, from putting the team together on the floor and how they were going to play from the coaching standpoint. And I think when you look at Sonya, she just brings more than one factor. She's not just a shooter. She's not just a ball handler. She's not just a defender. And also you think of the fact that you had to somehow, in some way, fill the void that you have with Ariel Atkins
yes.
in moving to get these picks to Chicago, 3-and-D type of player who really just over the course of her 7 years in Washington built a really strong resume and career. And I think right off the bat, you get that from Sonya with the way she can shoot the ball. She can attack off the dribble, but she also is such a fiery and fierce defender. She's not someone that you can just walk all over. So I think that's going to be a really great piece for them. And also you think of the fact you have a Brittany Sykes who is a long and lengthy defender.
Yeah.
Now you've got her a little bit more help as well, too, that when you made that move for Atkins, you didn't necessarily know what it would look like, how the pieces would look coming back with not knowing 100% who would be declaring for the draft this summer. Now you have an idea of what that could look like with Sykes and Citron potentially playing together. You've got a nice little defensive backcourt there.
For sure. And actually, as we were talking through it after the pick, the kind of this is your Ariel Atkins starter kit like popped into my mind. And of course, part of this is timelines. Like Ariel deserves to go somewhere where she can be competing sooner than I think the Mystics are looking to, just because they're resetting a lot of things, new front office, new coaching staff, all that. That said, like, I mean, they finished ninth in the league last year. It's not like this team can't compete in the way the W is structured too. We're seeing if, you know, especially a player like Amor, like playing point guard in the league as a rookie is tough, but she is an older player. And I wonder how much that played into it. It's something that we'll hear a little bit more about over the next few days as the draft picks are introduced and Jamila and Sydney talk a little bit more. But I totally agree on Citron and kind of where she fits, where you just go, it doesn't matter what else they do. And that's something that you and I are going to talk about here in a second, is kind of the larger context of this entire draft
right.
and you know how this league is going to be reshaping itself over the next year. I don't care if she's the only player left and you rebuild with 11 new players. Sonya Citron will fit any roster based off her skill set. And not that I'm wishing for a total reset. And obviously, the Mystics are going to have some players, you know, the Aaliyah Edwards, et cetera, that are here no matter what. They've got them on rookie contracts, so all the vets will be changing around. But it doesn't matter who comes in, who you recruit in free agency, who you trade for. Sonya Citron is the type of player that fits with anybody. And I kind of wonder, even before Olivia Miles went back, before we knew who was going to be in this draft, with one of those two picks, I feel like Citron probably was someone they targeted all along.
Well, you also look at the fact there's a reason why Citron was on all of the mock drafts so high. Like
yeah.
she was always, when you look at the mock draft, she was always in the top five or six. I don't recall seeing a mock draft in the last month and a half that had her lower than maybe a six or a seven. So that says a lot about who she is, I think, not just as a player, because you also have to keep in mind, yes, these are pro athletes now once they've been drafted, but you're also looking at the person. You're looking
yes.
at the type of character that you're bringing in. And I know that's something that this front office is truly looking for and really takes to heart is, okay, yes, we want to make sure we get the right player that fits with the available players on the draft board, but we also want to make sure that we're putting the right people together with this roster, because as much as you think about the time you spend on the floor, 40 games, 40 minutes a day, that's a small portion of what these players truly spend time together. You think of the travel days, dinners, you know, if your team's doing any fun activities for bonding, they spend so much time together in these 4 to 4.5 months that you have to also worry about the types of personalities you're bringing in.
Yep.
So I think that's another great aspect of why Citron was a focal point for this front office and for a lot of the mock drafts that we saw.
For just to keep everybody up to date here, Anissa Morrow, the 7th pick in the draft, she goes to Connecticut, the forward out of LSU. So, right, which does beg the question, Megan. You know, we saw the tweets from Arike about accidentally rooting for Paige. Will Aaliyah Edwards out of UConn be able to welcome Sonya Citron on to her team? I mean, this is the UConn-Notre Dame rivalry. I feel like this could get tenuous. Jamila, what are you doing?
That's going to be a great matchup, because now you've got Paige and Arike,
mm-hmm.
and then you've got Aaliyah and Sonya on one team.
Of course, don't forget Big Mama Steph's there ready to go back up on
exactly.
that.
Like, there's a lot of moving parts here. And that matchup with the Mystics and the Wings as of late has in the last couple of, I would say probably the last three seasons, has been a really fun matchup, yeah. a really fiery matchup, if you will. So now you add in more Irish, more Huskies. That, I mean, you get a Husky and an Irish in walk into a bar, you know?
Yeah.
Anything can happen.
We know what happens there. It's the Irish, and they're in a bar. So I do think, though, back to out of our silly analogy land that I 100% led us into. I think that I spent a lot of time talking about this with Christy earlier, and we've been just kicking it around talking about it, too, as I point off camera to Anthony, who's sitting over there just smiling and pretending, wishing he was on camera still. I think the larger context of this draft is fascinating. Knowing they just put a graphic up on ESPN that's like, I think it's 105 of the 235 players in the league, or however, it's not 235 in the league.
156 now.
Yeah, it's when
you add in the
now.
Fact they've got the Valkyries. It was
144. Maybe I just saw the number wrong, but yeah, 156. But like 105 players or something like that are going to be free agents after this season. And to me, that leads to either one of two paths. You can do what Washington, and it looks like Connecticut, they've got two picks. Chicago, they've got two picks, plus they had the two last year, where it's like, we can build a base of young players that can be attractive to those free agents. Or you have teams that are, on some level, recreating what the Miami Heat did back in the day, where it's mm-hmm. like, we're going to completely clear the decks, and we're going to have no one on our roster. The Aces, I think, probably going to wind up falling into this category. You know, Kate, one of their draft picks from last year, gets gone to Golden State. And then they don't have a first-round pick this year. We know second-round picks are a 50-50 shot at best to make their teams. They're just going to be able to, like, Asia, you go pick who you want to play with and bring them on back here when this new CBA gets done. I just think that's fascinating. I'm curious your thoughts on how you're seeing kind of this larger, bigger picture of where the league is and how that affects tonight.
Well, I think also, too, there may be some wondering like how the CBA situation also could affect things. Because that's kind of in like this limbo fluctuation type of situation. So there's so many factors going into this 2025 season. There's all this, you've got a new team, this influx of young talent, the vets that are still trying, you know, to prove that they can play. And it's not even that they are trying to prove. They can play. Like the fact that there was a possibility of Diana Taurasi still playing this year. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until, what, maybe 2.5 weeks ago that the official word came down yeah. from her. And then it's followed by also, too, Alina Deledon, who officially retires. Like, they were still trying to find ways to make themselves available to be on the floor because that's how much they love the game. So you add that in with the influx of all of this talent. You're adding a new team, and then you're going to be adding new teams down the road. So yeah. I think it's just putting this franchise, this league in a position for growth at the right time and not like a quick punch growth. It's happening incrementally. And I think that's really what has been impressive and what they can do to try and sustain. But like, I'm really excited to see what the Mystics then do with what they've got, because you yeah. do have, as you mentioned, you do have some vets still around. You have some young talent in Edwards and Austin. Now you're adding some rookies. You think of, they got Sonya and they got Kiki Iria Fenn as well too. And you think of what those two type of bring. And I think of Kiki, like, you look at what she was able to do at Stanford, such a great career at Stanford.
Yeah.
And then you come back and you are like, you know what, let's go one more time. And I'm going to go to USC. And if not for a horrible situation with the injury to Juju, maybe they are in a completely different situation in the NCAA tournament versus what they were in. And I'm really excited to see what she can bring to this roster, how she fits alongside an Aaliyah Edwards and a Shakira yeah. Austin, and what that can look like as well, too, because she's such a versatile type of big. What does that look like as they try to establish what Coach Johnson wants to play like, his play style, the types of things he wants to do on the floor with so much young talent? You're surrounding, you know, a Brittany Sykes as your leader. What does that
right.
look like?
I totally agree. I think it's the Mystics are maybe in the most sustainable position of any franchise in the entire sport from a player standpoint, because they actually, I mean, surely because of the numbers, like, they have more players on rookie contracts as opposed to these other teams. And that could work out one of two ways. One, this could work magically, and these three bigs that people are like, how's the fit going to work? Like, it could work out because they are all versatile enough that it 1,000% could.
They are all very different play styles. So
yeah.
That's the one thing is, yes, they're all bigs, but they all play a very different style. And we got to see it a couple of times prior to Shakira's injury last year with what it could look like with Edwards and Austin playing off of each other and playing together. We know what it has looked like with Edwards and Dolson. Because they can, you know, Dolson can stretch the floor.
Right.
So now you get another young, talented type of big. What can that do and how does that now adjust? But also, too, you now have more bigs on your roster. So when injuries happened last season
yeah.
and it was happening to, you know, your bigs, it was very tough because then who do you play? Then
right.
you've got a situation where it's just Steph Dolson, unfortunately, because then Aaliyah Edwards went down.
Yeah.
So you've got to also
think of hardship players. You're doing
exactly.
the whole deal.
You've also got to think of like, okay, we need to be, as you mentioned, in a position to sustain. And I think that's a lot of why they also made that move earlier today with Samuelson.
Yeah.
Which was very mindful. And I don't think people realize how mindful that was. As much as it's great to get a draft pick in the first round in the 2026 draft, you also were mindful of what this means for Samuelson. You put her in a position on a team that's vying for a championship,
yeah.
and she can help impact that in a win-now situation, but you also think about yourself for the future and trying to sustain what you're trying to build.
So that wraps around nicely to the point I was going to make, is if it doesn't work out, and the fit is clunky, like you now have some of the most valuable assets in the league, because I don't think anyone's, let's say it doesn't work out, and I'll just say Shakira, right? And Shakira winds up being the odd player out here. I don't think anyone's going to look at Shakira Austin and be like, oh, she's not a good player. She's like, oh, Washington doesn't have the need for her. And so they make a trade. They're going to get a ton of value. And she's on a old rookie contract, which is going to cost half of the new rookie contracts. And I think that you see like the value of players that can really help you win right now. I mean, I talked about this with Christy earlier. Congrats to Carly in so many ways. I mean, Carly had never signed before last year a full season contract in the WNBA. And that was her 14th, I believe, is the number contract. I should have double checked my notes before the show from Media Day last year. But 14th contract in 1 year in Washington, she turned herself into someone that got flipped for a first round pick. Like that tells you how valuable some of these types of skill sets are, some of these players are, and what, you know, Washington can provide. And again, you know, you hope that the players work out because especially once you get to, I mean, I love Shakira. Like, the person, I don't want to see her leave. But if she does, you know that there's going to be a massive return and something that's going to help the franchise in the long term. And unfortunately, that's just kind of how this business works. But I think either path, they've set themselves up with some flexibility here, no matter how the league turns.
Mm-hmm.
And we have no idea how this league is going to turn because of the CBA.
Right. And like, I think that's the interesting thing about what front offices, in not just in the W, but front offices in sports, period, have to balance. They have to do that dance of, we want to prepare ourselves for now and what we're trying to build, but as well, too, should what we're trying to build not work, we have a way to pivot
mm-hmm.
and pivot in a positive way versus we do it for the win now. That's all we care about. It doesn't work out. And then we're sitting here like, oh, snap. How do we fix this? What do we do? And we can't get rid of contracts or players.
And you
there's
have
so
to
many
do,
things.
I don't know, let's call it a major deconstruction, which is, you know, like, not to pick on Brad, but like, that's what the Wizards had to do, is they didn't give themselves a way out. The old regime and Michael and Will got in here and were like, oh, God, this is going to be painful. And now Phoenix is in the same thing with
managed,
the same guy.
Yeah,
because that's why no
out.
One, and again, not trying to pick on Brad here, but that's why no one in the NBA, not even Steph Curry, has no trade clause, because you want to, in this sport, give yourself the chance to pivot. And if you don't, it is a bad, bad situation.
It's not necessarily the situation any team would want to be in. And I think that's something you, as a general manager, have in the back of your mind when you're making these decisions, when you're thinking of the picks that you're going to look at, when you're thinking of the players, when you're thinking of putting your coaching staff together. Because
yeah.
the synergy, I go back to the press conference when the Mystics introduced...
Who hosted that thing, by the way?
I don't know, some girl named Megan. When the introduction happened, that was the constant thing I kept hearing. And it was also something that you heard from Will Dawkins and Michael Winger. So mm-hmm. it's clear of what, you know, with Michael Winger being the overseer and president of Monumental Basketball, you can see the synergy. It's not just on one side. It's happening on both because you are trying to sustain something to not just build a winning culture. You're trying to also build something that people want to come watch, fans want to be part of, players in free agency want to be part of. Draftees in the future are like, I want to get drafted to Washington. And so you think of that. Like, I go back, and I know we're talking Mystics, but I go back to the NBA draft. Alex Saar, number two pick for the Wizards, said, I want to play in Washington.
Yep.
So now what you're seeing on the Mystic side is something similar in having players say, I want to play for Sidney Johnson, and I want my boss to be Jamila Weidman. Like, that's what you're trying to build. And I think this is where it starts, obviously, tonight with this being their first official draft. And I'm excited to see what they do with these moves and these picks and how they can try to then get ready for the season and then see where they go as the season goes on.
Megan McPeak, play-by-play broadcaster for the Washington Mystics, with us last night on our live stream show, of course, at the Team 980, where that streamed live on YouTube. And don't forget, Megan and Chrissy Winter-Scott, who was with us for the whole radio show yesterday, broadcast each and every game of the local broadcasts on Monumental Sports Network, and those are simulcast here on the Team 980. So we are back for Season 2 of Mystics Basketball. And, of course, leading into those games when they're on after us, we'll give you a little preview, a little pregame action from your friends here at the Hoffman Show. Of course, we make our bones most days talking football, though, and we will return to our roots in that way next. John Keim was nice enough to spend a nice long while with me this morning in Logan Paulson's absence. Logan is on a spring break vacation with his family, recharging before next week's NFL draft. And so Keim kindly stepped in as we did our Monday, or I guess our early week mailbag. It used to work a lot better for the alliteration and the branding, Anthony, when it was the Monday mailbag. It was mailbag Monday. Tuesday doesn't work like that.
Not at all.
No. What could we call it on Tuesday? Tuesday.
Make the mail out?
Yeah, like questions, queries. They all start with the Q. Figure it out eventually. Or I won't. The point is, Keim answered NFL draft questions, including there's a ton of Ohio State players in this draft. Shocker. Those that know John Keim know that he's a Buckeye. If he could only pick one for the Commanders, who would it be? You got to hear his answer next here on the Team 980.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can choose the TV you want with DirecTV.
So now they can pick out their favorite entertainment when they sign up and save money?
You mean if you like sports,
you can get a sports pack.
What about entertainment?
Entertainment pack.
It's like finding an old pizza with your favorite toppings.
Which for me would be pineapple and toenails.
Pineapple?
Pay for the TV you want, not the TV you don't.
Genre packs starting at $34.99 a month. Visit DirectTV.com for more information. New residential customers only. Local channels vary by market. Services renew monthly unless you cancel online. Credit card required. Restrictions apply.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
It's Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. And we're brought to you by the Maryland Vehicle Theft Prevention Council. Maryland drivers, did you know a vehicle is stolen in Maryland every 16 minutes? The key to preventing theft is in your hands. Lock your car, take your key, use an anti-theft device. Learn more about vehicle theft prevention at mdautotheft.org. All right. We will go around the NFL coming up at 6 o'clock. Plenty of news. A very interesting Travis Hunter quote we'll get to. But today, a little take command snippet for you. John Keim and I answered your questions, mailbag style. Keim in for Logan as Logan is on vacation. And don't forget, Thursday. I know everyone's waiting for this episode. Again, I don't know we've ever gotten more feedback on a guest, especially positive feedback, than we got on Jeremy Green, who joined us just a few weeks ago, breaking down the NFL draft. He's a draft analyst who's also hilariously funny, literally has a stand-up comedy background, and he is going to join us for a 7-round mock draft on Thursday. We'll make all of the Commanders' picks. As of now, that's 5, but who knows? We might make a couple of trades, so we'll see what comes up on the board then. But that is how we're going to roll on Thursday on Take Command. But today, John Keim joined us. We want to let you hear a couple of our draft-related questions, starting with one that was very specifically engineered for John Keim. Take Command Podcast, John Keim with us today for the mailbag episode. Again, Jeremy Green will be with us later in the week, and then Logan will be back because the NFL draft is somehow next week. We're 9 days away from the first round, John, and so we got a bunch of draft questions, and we're going to dive in with your alma mater here. This All is right. a John Keim specific All question.
Right. Let's go.
If the Commanders could draft one of the Ohio State prospects in this draft, who would you want it to be? Well, that's a question from Tom Owen 8.
Okay. So this is going to be a little bit of a two. I'm going to give you two names, but for a reason.
Of course right? you are. No, of course so, you are. But, he's trying to get multiple Buckeyes in the building. I see what you're up to. You
well,
can't
what
fool
I would
me.
Say, like the guy that I keep going back to is Travion Henderson. That would be my number one thought because I think of what he adds as a player is really good for what this team could use.
Explosive really halfback.
Explosive in the screen game with him, his ability to pass protect, his ability in space. He's not just a third down back, but that explosive aspect of his game is really good for what they need. I think the best player from that group is Simmons, the tackle. And they don't need that left tackle. So that's why I say, before they got Tunsil, I would have said him. But I think for what they need, Travion would be the guy. I just don't think they're good. The first round, I think, would be too rich for a running back for me. And the second round might be too low to get him. So yeah. I don't think he's got it. So then it's like, well, was it JTT? And I think like he'd be good as well. I know they had interest. They talk to Denzel Burke, the corner, but I think JTT would be after that. But Travion is the guy that I would pick.
Yeah, JTT, one of two Ohio State edges. I don't know if you and Logan have talked about this. I don't think he's super high on either of those guys. Now, doesn't necessarily mean that Logan's 100% right. We'd love for Logan to be 100% right.
Yeah, but there are other ends that I would look at before them just for, and it's not, what Jack Sawyer did against Texas will be etched in my brain forever. And like those guys did a really good job there. I do think there's some other defensive ends that I would look at and say, like, I think like, okay, this is their production in college, but this is their potential in the NFL. And have they reached that? Like, both those guys played for 4 years. Like, they are what they are. There are other guys like, Femi Olofamu, Ofadu from UCLA, who is very intriguing because he's a newbie at that spot, right? So, like, those kind of guys I look at more. That's why I say, like, I go back to Henderson, period. And Judkins is another one, but Henderson, that's the go with that.
I think both the running backs are interesting. I do think I'd be a hypocrite if I didn't say it, considering in our Hoffman Show mock draft the other day on the radio, I wound up picking an Ohio State player in the first round, and it was Igbuka. So
I can't believe that I forgot to mention him. But that guy is like Terry McLaurin in terms of culture setter, right?
Yes.
Like, and he's also God bless. I can't believe I forgot about him. I was like, in my head, I'm like, I know I'm forgetting somebody.
If they wind up drafting him, we'll delete this clip. That way he doesn't ever find it.
Yeah. No, listen, like, that guy was tremendous. And I also think, and to the reason why, this speaks to this, that to me, he's certainly not overlooked, but it's always been somebody else, right? They had so many good receivers. It's always somebody else that was like, it's like, oh yeah. And they have Igbuka, who is really, really good. And he can play, I think he can play inside and out. He makes tough catches. He's not going to be the explosive guy, but he gets open. And, you know, it's funny when you're looking at guys like this is Puka Nacua for the Rams. They took him because he got open. Like, there are some guys that know how to get open, and like, that's the job in the NFL. Like, you may have speed, you may have this, but if you're not creating separation, you're not going to be a threat in the NFL. And I think Igbuka does that, but he makes tough catches too. So that would be actually, you know, let me revise. Like, after Henderson, it would be Igbuka.
Yeah, I don't think that's like the best way the board falls for Washington. I think one of the edges falling, like Ezeraku, is the best bet for Washington. When you know, what you ultimately want, everyone's like, best player need. And I'm like, what you want is the best player available to fill one of your needs. That's the A1 that how the board falls. And so in that way, I think Ezeraku falling or whatever, Shamar Stewart, whatever the edge that they like and believe in falling to them at 29, because for whatever other reason, other people don't believe in that player. That's what you want to happen. And there is clearly, because I was the one making the pick, a way where the best player falling to them is Emeka Igbuka. If all the edges go early and you're looking at, you know, the best edge available being someone like a James Pierce, who I don't think is going to wind up on their board because of kind of the inconsistent football character stuff, where his effort and all that kind of stuff
that's
is
a polite way to put it.
Yeah, it's not going to get the commander tag, James Pierce Jr. Let's put it that way. And Emeka Igbuka is going to have like a giant button that's like just commander on it if it's up to Adam Peters. So I think that there's definitely a way where Igbuka is the best player available for them at 29. And I agree with you. I think he fits he can fit anywhere. This is, you know, a different analogy.
I can't believe I forgot him.
Yeah, like,
it just bugs me.
You know, last night, John, I was telling you before we started the show, I was doing all the WNBA draft stuff, and the Mystics took this guard, Sonia Citrone, and Notre Dame guard. And it doesn't matter what team you put her on, she will fit. She can play with literally anybody because she just has this, not great at anything, but really good at a lot of things, basically everything skill set, that just, you can put her at guard, you can put her at small forward, you can put her next to a shooter, you can say, hey, we need you to handle the ball. She can do anything. And that's how I feel about Emeka Igbuka in a receiving core. You could literally put him in any receiver room in the league and he'd be fine. To that extent, I think he is scheme agnostic. And typically we think of scheme agnostic prospects as, like, Myles Garrett is scheme agnostic because he's so good, it doesn't matter. You just be like, you go be Myles Garrett and it'll work. And I think in a very different way, Emeka Igbuka is scheme agnostic. Sure, there's probably certain things you can ask him to do where he's better at, but it just feels like he's good at everything. And I think because they've got this kind of specialty weapon in Debo and then Terry, adding him as a third guy where you can put Debo wherever you need to on any given snap, have Igbuka line up in the other spot that's all of a sudden vacated by Debo, whether it's inside or outside. Like, that's a real, like, of the receivers, in some ways, he's the most intriguing guy to me for Washington. And so that's probably my answer, is Igbuka. But I think the Henderson answer is great too, if somehow he falls to 61.
Well, because I keep thinking, like, for the first pick, that if it's not a D end, it'll probably be that it corner would be the way I would look hard. So yeah. Like that's a possibility as well. So I kind of took him off the board a little bit just because I think they'll go defense. And then I don't think he's going to be like Egbuka would not be there for them in the second round at all.
No chance.
But I think to your point too, like I want to stick on him because, you know, like for, again, high, high character guy. And he's a, he is like, if you said who's a Dan Quinn type player, it's Egbuka. Yeah. And part of that too is he's a really good blocker. And I think the other thing too, as a receiver that I think McLaurin benefited from this as well, when you're surrounded, like he's playing with Marvin Harrison, you know, like he played.
I saw the stat in The Beast, Dane Brugler had this, four different receivers he's played with that were top 20 picks.
Yeah, Garrett Wilson. I mean, it would, Jeremiah Smith, he played. The point is like when you're a receiver, like you don't want to bring the diva types in, right? And when you're surrounded by that and you're still productive, I think that speaks a lot to who you are, right? And like, you're not going to be, I don't think he's going to come in here. It's like, hey, I'm Emeka Egbuka. Give me the ball. It's like, I'm going to do my job because that's what I did in college. And it's what got me here. And it's what helped them win a national title, right?
Like, how annoyed would Mikey Sanders still be, by the way, if they did that? He's just, well, how many Buckeyes can he have in that room with him?
Because like he's two lockers down. He's like, there's only one locker separating he and Terry. So, you know,
put Egbuka there. Let's do it.
Yeah, put it right. Yeah. And
John's just sauntering over to that part of the locker room every day.
Part of the locker room all the time.
Hey Mikey, you like my shirt?
but I do think like a lot of that stuff speaks volumes about how he would fit and be productive, knowing how to be productive in those roles, but also filling what they kind of love in a player. Like that is absolutely.
Good chance he's not available. I think he's probably off the board.
In an ideal situation, I think they go defense with that first pick. You know, whether it's an end or a corner, right? Or maybe even a safety. Like, give me a playmaker there. But, you know, it's hard. Listen, if you're a true playmaker, chances are you're going a lot higher than this. But, like, give me a guy.
I think that's one of the reasons why he could fall, though, is like, I don't know that you look at him and you're like,
I'm talking about playmaker. Defense. I'm talking about defense.
Yeah. But that is a reason why Egbuka could be available, is like the playmakers ceilings go higher. And it's just like, hey, we got the really good football player that's going to be just short of a Pro Bowler every year of his career. Sick. Sign me up for that. Yeah. All right. Another draft question I thought was really fascinating. This is a good one from Bryce on Instagram. Of course, you can submit at hoffman.sports. You can also follow John on Instagram, by the way, at John Keim ESPN. But Bryce says, hey, Craig, love the podcast. Looking forward to the draft and finally seeing what the heck is going to happen. Question for the next mailbag. How much GPS data is out there now for college players? Are we at a point where the 40 is less relevant because we can get in-game data that measures acceleration, top speed, etc.? So Logan and I have talked about this before, John, but I don't think we've talked about it this draft cycle, so it's worth re-upping. So hello to our new audience and, refresher for those that have been long time listeners and heard us talk about this before. But a draft profile is just that. It's a profile with a lot of different data points. And what you're always looking for is the pieces to go together, the puzzle pieces to fit, because then you're like, okay, we know who this guy is. And so what I think winds up happening with, to directly answer the question, yes, there is basically GPS data for all of the major college players. If you have like a D3 guy or whatever, like that might be a little harder to get the GPS data. But amongst the main schools in all of the major conferences, you've got GPS data as an NFL team for those players. So what you're looking for is, does the GPS data match the 40 time and match what you see on tape, what you feel on tape? Does that guy play up to his speed? And so that's kind of the answer is it less relevant? Like the 40? Slightly, because you do have the GPS data. And that really is kind of backing up what you see on tape. Do we feel like Matthew Golden's a good example, right? He runs a 4.29, but if you watch the tape, you're like, I don't know that I feel that 4.29. Exactly. I'd want to go look at the GPS data and see like, okay, is he moving at the type of speed that says, oh, he can run a 4.29 and we can get that out of him on film? Or is he just like, and it just looks smooth? Or is that not actually how he plays? But also, I think it's worth pointing out that the 40 is only really relevant as a 40-yard dash. Corner? I don't know. Safety-ish? Like, there's just not a lot of positions where 40 time translates directly to efficacy. And
it's not, it, again, it's a data point. It has varying, depending on the position, varying amounts of importance. The GPS data, you want to see it kind of match the 40 time. And I think that's how I would answer that, John. And well, anything you would add on that front, yeah, in terms of how the profile comes together.
And first of all, the more information you have, the better off you are in a player. And this gives you just more information, I think, to your point, right? But there are, like, the 40 time is great for fans, I think, right? Like, yeah. It's a measuring point for them. And I think it's part of what teams will look at. Now, I think Golden is a perfect example. I think if a guy runs, like Kyle Hamilton did not have a great 40 time, right? But he can play that position. Why?
So he never showed up on tape. You're never like, this guy's not fast enough.
Exactly. Because, like, you know, it's funny because when you watch a guy, like, it's really about reaction speed. And are you able to diagnose a play? Like Ed Reed, I don't know what Ed Reed's 40 time was. I know he was unbelievable.
I do think he ran like a 4.3 something.
All right. Well, there
that you also probably could see that on tape. I also might be making that up because of how good Ed Reed was.
Well, but the point is, I don't know.
Oh, apparently he's like 4.57. There you go. Right, what do I know?
There you go. Perfect. But what you do know is the preparation he put in, the way he would con quarterbacks and get them to react the way he wants them to do. And the way, you know what I mean? Like, it was the play speed. And the play speed comes for, to me, it's anticipation, it's instincts, but those instincts are honed by preparation and film study, because you can get burned by instincts if you don't have the preparation behind it. So I think, like, to me, like, what matters more, if you're looking at a corner, like, yeah, okay, he runs a 4.5, but he has good length. What's his short area quickness like? These guys will look at, when I talk to these guys about corners, they don't say, well, I want to see the 40 time. It's like, it's ball skills. It's short area quickness. So like that three cone drill is going to tell you, if you're looking at a defensive end, they're not looking at 40 time, 10 yard split. What's the 10 yard split? That's about get off. So I think there's, you know, and like a running back, Emmitt Smith did not have a great 40 time. But, you know, it's vision.
He got more rushing yards than anyone in the history of the league. Yeah, so it worked out quite all right.
These guys had some guys, probably when you were back then, I forget some of the names, but they had guys that were really fast. They were not good running backs because that's not what made a good running back. So the 40 time, I think, is like you said, like a receiver, I do want to see, you know, if this guy is like a 4.7 guy, like, how's it going to translate? Yeah.
And that's the thing. There's thresholds, right? Like corner. The reason I say for corner, right? With rare exception, if you're not 4.6 or better, you can't play corner in the NFL. You are just not fast enough to keep up in the NFL. So it's not that it doesn't matter. It's just kind of a box to check as a threshold. Right. Being a 4.3 versus a 4.5 is not going to make you a better corner. Both times mean if you have the other requisite skills, you can play corner in the NFL. If you run a 4.8, you must. I hope that you slipped and you also have crazy long arms and. But also, it's worth pointing out, like on the 40 times.
If you're running a 4.8 and the 40 as a corner, you're sitting here doing one of these shows.
Yeah, which nothing wrong with that. I would love to run a 4.8. But I think the other thing too is like if all of a sudden, let's say there's a mismatch between the GPS data, what you see on film, and the 40, and like why was this 40 so slow? They'll go back and watch the film of the 40 and be like, oh, because that guy absolutely stunk up his start. Clearly his speed coach was like irate at him not paying attention and not applying the things on game day. And maybe that's something that I also want to know is like, hey man, why was your start so bad in your 40? Like, haven't you been preparing for this for months? Like that, in some ways, that is more of the red flag than the actual time. Yeah. You know, how well do you learn? How well do you follow instructions? How well do you execute under pressure? But if ultimately it's like, yeah, I didn't feel that good. I had food poisoning and I just decided to compete anyway. It's like, okay, fine. Go run at your pro day. And then you go run 4.6 at your pro day instead of the 4.8. And it's like, okay, we'll draft you. But like there are, if it doesn't match up, you figure out why, and then you decide whether to throw out that outlier piece of data or whether it's relevant. And that's why this is very much art, not science.
Right. And also, by the way, I was a 4.6 guy. So just throwing it out there.
You were back in the day. You're quick.
But I'm still sitting here. So it didn't help me enough. But
had the speed, maybe not the size.
Well, yeah, you know, anyways, but you're not also like in the NFL, you're not running from a sprinter stance.
Yes.
So like that. So
but that 10-yard split for a DN is a heck of a test for a 3-point stance get off.
Correct. That's why like you're going to look at. You want that, you know, you start to look at the top pass rushers and what were their 10-yard splits in the NFL. And typically it's in that 1.55 to 1.60 range. Typically, you're going to get some outliers that may be a little bit beyond there, but you don't want it too much beyond there because, like, again, it's all about the get off. And the, again, short area quickness for a corner because of the way the routes are run, it's not just, hey, we're going to run down the field and see who wins that race. It's, okay, boom, you know, how can you react to cuts? And, you know, flipping your hips, et cetera. And so all that stuff is going to matter more than the 40 time. But it's a piece of the puzzle. And usually what it does is like you said with Golden, okay, 4.29, oh, now let's go back and watch more of him to see why that didn't translate into more certain types of plays.
Yeah, for sure. That just gave me an idea too. We owe the audience a crossover episode with the Train with the Best podcast, my training podcast. We typically do it at the combine and we just couldn't make schedules work this year. But it would be fun to redesign an NFL combine. Like what would we, if we wanted to get athletic testing that we thought actually mattered, what would that look like? So put that mailbag question to myself, put that one in the back pocket for me, Logan and Gores at a later date.
Again, a huge thanks to John Keim for taking the time and guest co-hosting the show. You want more from Keim, including his thoughts on the Josh Johnson signing, QB3 that got signed last week, actually on Friday. You're like, oh, didn't see that one coming. He'll likely make the team to replace Jeff Driskel if they keep three quarterbacks. He'll probably be the third guy. I guess Sam Hartman could potentially beat him out, but got into that, got into a bunch of draft stuff. Check out the full mailbag episode with John. And again, on Thursday, one, do not miss Take Command on Thursday. Jeremy Green, full mock draft, going to be great. Highly entertaining, highly informative. Also on Thursday, speaking of mock drafts, Haney, you ready to fire up the old mock machine again?
Yes, sir, man. We got to make some trades.
We got Hoffman Show Mock Draft 2.0. coming at you during the four. Well, we gave the 4 o'clock hour the mock draft last time. Do we want to do that again or do you want to mix it up? I mean, I do kind of like the formula of diving in and then being able to break it down later in the show. But I also feel bad that the folks that listen in the 5 and 6 o'clock hours don't get a mock draft.
Maybe we do it in the 5 o'clock hour then?
Could we do it 5:30 and cross it over? Oh, dang. I'm watching this. That's a big hit.
Yeah, it was. Good gracious.
Lenore just de-cleated DeAndre Swift back in 2023. That's not a euphemism for like a time machine. The NFL Network's got an old game on, and that I got ADHD, and bang, that had to hurt. Anyway, maybe we do it at like 5:30. Cross it over into the 6 o'clock hour. So the people that are listening right now could hear it.
I like the way you think, sir.
All right, we'll put our heads together on that. Although 5:30 on Thursdays typically
read the comments.
Maybe we'll be like, hey, 4 o'clock hour, you got a mock draft last time. This week you get never read the comments. So treat for you. Everyone can get something new. Or we can stick to the rhythm of the show. Anyway, Thursday, mock draft, time TBD here on the Team 980. When we get back on today's edition of the program, we will dive into everything else going on around the NFL. Some interesting quotes from Travis Hunter, a superstar corner on the trade block. Plenty of NFL news and notes coming at you at 6 p.m. here on the Team 980.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Since the dawn of Major League Baseball, every player has honed their unique skills.
Judge, drill deep to left.
Ohtani connects and it's gone.
Skeen strikes out the side.
Bobby Witt Jr. throws in time.
Harper does it again.
Witness the hills of the game in ballparks nationwide. Get your tickets today at MLB.com/tickets. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Some people follow the rules, I break them. I'm Soraya, and on Rule Breakers, we talk to the rebels who do things their way. Listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.